Why don't you, if you can, step out from where you are and come up here and praise Him? There's a special, special move of the Spirit of the Lord here for healing today. Let's just take a moment and give Him thanks. You know, scripture I was going to use today is in Hebrews 13. It says that we are to give the first fruit of our lips, pray, the sacrifice of praise, of thanksgiving to the Lord. So take the first moment here right now and just begin to give the fruit of your lips praise. Praise ushers in faith. As you begin to praise, it begins to uplift that little bit of seed of faith that you have. And it connects with God. You know, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. So if you're praising and God's inhabiting those praises, then your faith is being built because God is there. And it gets greater. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes the problem you're having is God's way of redirecting your thinking and getting you to see what He would have you see. So in the middle of a problem, give praise. You know, the scripture in Thessalonians says to give thanks, that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To do what? Give thanks. What's the will of God for you? Everybody always says, what's the will of God for me? To give thanks. Don't worry about everything else. Don't worry about cars, trucks, planes, houses, jobs. Don't worry about those things. Do what God said, and He said, I'll take care of those things for you. So what He said was, the will of God is for you to give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you redirect my life. I thank you that you're in charge. I thank you that you know what you're doing, even though we try to question what you're doing. Now, we're going to sing, I don't know, half of that, part of that, whatever again. Okay? But here's what I'd like for you to do while we're doing that. Everybody who has a mental distress, that could be a child, a loved one, a husband, a wife. I'm talking about that could be your distress. I want you, and anybody who needs healing, we're going to lay hands on you today, right now. I just got a word from the Lord said today is a day of healing. So I would like for my prayer partners to kind of be in the background, and anybody who needs healing just to step forward. Be forward enough to where I can walk down here in front of you. But I want to be sure, you know, if all of y'all are back there, then I'm not worried about coming back there to pray for you. But if you're up here, then I know I'm supposed to be praying for you. So everybody who wants to have hands laid on them for prayer, step forward. Okay? And we're going to start that again. We believe. Do you believe? Do you really believe? We need to pray for Andrea, too, today. She just lost her dad the other day. And then she's got a sister that's got cancer. Cancer. Yeah. And so she's battling a whole lot of stuff. And, of course, Dewey, we need to pray for Dewey because he gets all that. Lord, we just thank you right now that we can lift up Andrea to you and know, God, that your peace passes understanding, that you have a way and that you have a way to touch, to comfort when there's no comfort from any other source. And we ask you to comfort Andrea right now. Touch her family, heal her sister. Lord, just continue to work miracles in her presence. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, when we're singing this song, if you decide that you want prayer, then step forward while we're singing this song. Do we believe? Oh, amen. Amen. Father, we just pray for even those that today may not feel like they wanted to come forward. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will touch their heart and their minds. Renew minds today. Renew hearts. Lord, don't leave us the same way as you found us when we came in today. Change us. Rearrange us. We give you permission to work to rebuild us in your life. Lord, touch each and every heart, each and every mind right now in Jesus' name. Everybody would say, amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. I got to have water. That reminds me of, this reminds me of my school papers. You got a plus three on it. That's all the ones I got right. Yeah. Except it would be in big red ink. Plus three. Probably minus three. How many of you know that praise is a powerful, powerful gift from God? But many of us don't realize that, unlike a lot of things that have to do with the Spirit of the Lord, praise is something that is put completely in your hand and in your power, and it's something you have to choose to do. Amen. Now, faith, God already says He's given everybody a measure of faith, every man a measure of faith. So there's already a measure of faith operating in you. But praise is something that has to take place by your desire and in your will. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 13, I got to find it again. It says, the writer of the Hebrews said, each one of us in 13:15, Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore, by Him who? By Christ, by the Lord, therefore. Because we have Jesus, the word therefore is pointing backwards. The word therefore, when you read it, says because of something that we just said, do what's coming up. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice. Now, one of the problems is there's another place in the Bible, in Hebrew, in Romans chapter 12, says that we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. You know, the neat thing about a sacrifice is that a sacrifice doesn't live like a sacrifice. A sacrifice doesn't go around going, oh, I'm a sacrifice, I'm a martyr, I'm going to have a problem, oh, you know. No, a sacrifice, I remember one time I had to load up, I've told you this before, I had to load up some sheep. And, you know, and cattle and horses and stuff, you can kind of drive them onto a ramp and up into a trailer. I was trying to drive the sheep, and about the time you push them this way, they scatter that way. They don't drive. You can't drive sheep. You can lead sheep, but you can't drive sheep. And the funny thing was, is I kept trying to do the same thing you do with cows or horses, and I kept trying to shoo them and get them in there, and they'd get up to the door, and they'd just turn around and come back and run over me and run over everything else. And so finally I realized I needed to get one sheep to follow me, and I got one. I got up in front, and I was kind of coaxing them in, and one came in, and pretty soon they all started coming and following. You know, the herd mentality is not cows, it's sheep. We have a herd mentality. If something's going on over there in that corner, we want to be over there in it. We want to know what's going on. But you can't drive me over there. You can't force me over there. You can't push me over there. You know, the best way to get somebody to pay attention to you is to act like you got a secret that you want to tell somebody else. Then all of a sudden, they really want to know what you're talking about. Well, I learned that about sheep, that you can't drive them. You gotta let them follow you or lead them. And in Hebrews, it talks about the sacrifice. Well, and I want to talk about this just a minute before I go to another part about praise. Praise is to be a sacrifice. You're to present your body a living sacrifice. The Bible talks about the lambs that were to be slain. From the day they were born, they were prepared to be slain. They were taken care of in such a way that when it came time that they had to sacrifice a lamb, these lambs were ready. The funny thing about the sacrificial lamb was it never knew it was a sacrificial lamb. And when it came time for sacrifice, they led them to the sacrifice. They couldn't drive them to a sacrifice. They could only lead them to a sacrifice. And when they would come to the gate to have the sacrifice done, they would just come, and the Bible talks almost like blindly. And it would even talk about to their shearers dumb. Now, you're not dumb, but the point of the sacrifice is that they didn't act like they were being sacrificed. A sacrifice doesn't mean that you're supposed to look like you're being sacrificed. A sacrifice is all about your heart being willing to do whatever it is God wants you to do. So as a living sacrifice, I'm not living my life with my motivation and desire. I'm living my life with motivation and desire for God, and that directs me with people. And because of that, we don't get caught up into the problems with people. We're the sacrifice of people. If you're a living sacrifice, you're a sacrifice not only for yourself, but for your family and for those around you. Now, it talks about giving the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice, again, is that we do it out of a consciousness that it's got to be done. We have to be a sacrifice. And we have to be a sacrifice of praise. It's fruit of our lips, giving praise and thanks unto God. So, if you're going to be a living sacrifice and you're going to give the sacrifice of the fruit of the lips, it's going to cost you something. It's not going to be painful, but it might be painful for some, but it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you. You've got to put yourself out of the way and put God in front. Now, the sacrifice of praise talks about that it's an all-the-time continual thing. In Hebrews 13, where it says 15, by him therefore, 13, 15, by him therefore, or through him therefore, let us offer. Did you notice that? He said, let us offer. He's encouraging. He's leading. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, so he tells you now what this sacrifice of praise is. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks into his name or in his name. So our responsibility is to give thanks and to praise his name. But it's the fruit of our lips. You can't do it quietly. I like that song where it says, let the church be loud. You know, and I've had a lot of people before say, well, why do we have to get loud? Why do we have to talk out loud? Why do we have to clap hands? Why do we have to say praise the Lord out loud? I can just stand here and fold my arms and pout and be whatever I am. You know, like I said, this is my happy face. So number one, he's instructing us, the writer of the Hebrews is leading us to continually, all the time, every time. You know, I said this years ago. I'll say it again. And it's hard to practice. This is very hard to practice. But if you're in the middle of an argument, or you're in the middle of a mean-spirited attitude, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, glory to God, amen, thank you, Jesus, it's kind of hard to stay in that mean-spirited attitude. You know, it's funny to me, when I pastored the Indians, everybody wanted to have a guitar, every Indian wanted to have a guitar, every Indian wanted to sing, and every Indian wanted to be a pastor or an evangelist. They all wanted to be evangelists. And they all wanted to strum their guitars and sing, and they all wanted to, you know, go out and preach and do all this stuff. And we had one that came to the church one time, and it come through a snowstorm, and he came up, and I said, ask him to give a testimony. And he got up there, and he said, glory to God, amen, I went in the ditch. Glory to God, amen, I got stuck in the snow. Glory to God, amen, I almost froze to death. Glory to God. And he just went on and on and on, and I'm sitting there going, that sounds like a bad moment to me. But you know, the ultimate answer was at the end of it, glory to God, amen. Glory to God, amen. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. That kind of shuts down that argument. You want to fuss at I-4 people? Before you do, point your finger at them. Do this. You point your finger at them. Of course, be kind. And go, in the name of Jesus, glory to God, amen, bless you. And then when they pull you over on the side of the road and want to shoot you, you say, oh, no, I'm saying God bless you. You got to use the right finger. But if you would start every conversation and every thought that you're going to mumble out, how many of you speak to yourself? I know you've heard this, but I got to say it again. It doesn't surprise me you don't listen to me. It really doesn't surprise your wife that the husband doesn't listen. It doesn't surprise the husband that the wife doesn't listen. It really doesn't surprise that the kids don't listen. Because understand this. You tell yourself something, and you get up to go do what you just told yourself to do, and when you get in the other room, you go, huh? So you're not even listening to yourself. And if you're not going to listen to yourself, it doesn't surprise me if you're not listening to me. I know sometimes you walk out going, huh? But I don't expect you to get a 30-minute or a 20-minute or a 15-minute message. I expect you to get a 1-minute message. Out of everything that's said here today, there will be several 1-minute messages. If you could actually go around and tell people, write down the 1-minute message you got today. Now, some of you would get the same message, and some of you would get different messages. But you're going to get a message that relates to where you're at and to what you're doing. So don't worry about getting the whole message. Just worry about getting the part that relates to you. Now, number two, praise is to be the fruit of our lips. That means that it must be verbal. Oh, for all you nonverbal people. The mouth has to be used in the act of praise. Right. It's not a sacrifice if it's not the fruit of our lips giving praise. And so you have to give the fruit of your lips, the first parts of your lips, the praise and thanksgiving to God. And it says give thanksgiving. The other day I had to replace a microwave oven under the counter. So I'm smart. Careful, Tim, careful. But I are pretty smart. I just don't claim it a whole lot of times. I did go to college. She passed it. I just went. But I had to replace this microwave oven, and we had a Kenmore. So I said, honey, go back and get a Kenmore just like this one. Well, they don't make them just like that anymore. The faces are different. But I figured the holes would be the same. They moved all three of them. They didn't move one hole. They didn't move two, they moved all three. Well, of course, I put the template up there and I draw this place and drill my hole. I missed it by a quarter of an inch. So I was having struggles. I got my jigsaw out. I'm going to make it. I'm putting it up. But every time I ran into the little problem and I was doing the jigsaw, I said, thank God I got tools. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, imagine if you didn't have tools. You'd have to do all that with a chisel or a rock or something from outside. It's amazing. How many of you ever been to Yellowstone? A couple? What's amazing is that big building that's there at the geyser was all built with hand-borne tools and mules to pull the things up. It is so amazing to look at what those guys did, and then today we have trouble getting a house built. So we have to remember that praise has got to be the fruit of our lips. It's got to be out loud. Finally, praise is giving thanks in the name of Jesus. Now, let me give you an example of great praise. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, you don't have to turn there, don't go there, because I'm not going to read from there. The sacrifice. David had sinned in numbering the people of Israel. And he was actually told not to, but he did. And when he did, then the wrath of God was kindled against David, and the death angel began to stretch his hand out over the city, over Jerusalem. Now, the funny thing is, I know it's not really funny, but they could see this death angel. They could see this cloud and this death cloud and this death angel coming against the city. And David repented. Says he got down, he repented and asked the Lord to stop the death angel. If anything was to come, let it come upon him. And God commanded David to offer a sacrifice. Just as we are in Hebrews, you're commanded to offer a sacrifice. Now the reason David was to offer a sacrifice was to drive away the enemy. If you'll notice, if you're doing the fruit of your lips and you're praising first, you're fighting the enemy. That idea of jumping on somebody, or that idea of being angry with somebody, or that idea of telling somebody what you really think about them has to kind of go away. You can't go, glory to God, amen, thank you, Jesus, you stink. You know, that doesn't kind of fit in the whole category of stuff. It changes. When you start off, it kind of changes the way you're going to go about talking. At least it should. I know that there are people that could probably sit here and praise the Lord for a minute and then chew you out right after. I'm sure there are. But that's not how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be thankful of God and thankful to God and praising Him. And the next thing you know is that your whole opinion and your whole mindset is changed. And so David, he was there to do a sacrifice to drive away the enemy. Well, the Lord told him to build an altar, but he told him to build it on the threshing floor of Ornan. Now, the funny thing is, Ornan the Jebusite, it was during the harvest time. And so, as you know, the harvest was their main time to get all in. And I from North Dakota, Lorraine and I learned that when it's harvest time, stay out of the way. And people go out there and go to work all hours of the day, all hours of the night. Their trucks are running up and down the road constantly. When it's time to get in the harvest, it's time. You got to get it in. And Ornan didn't have a bunch of trucks. He had cows and stuff. So Ornan, being the farmer he was, he would have to shut down the threshing floor to do a sacrifice. Now, the reason God sent David to Ornan, it was kind of a trick. God was seeing what David would do. Have you ever wondered sometimes, does God see what I'm going to do? Well, he knows what you're going to do. He just wants to show you what you're going to do. It's not about God's saying, oh, well, I didn't know you were going to. Boy, you surprised me. You know, God isn't surprised when Scott speaks. God doesn't go, oh, wow, Scott, I never thought of that. That's cool. No, there's nothing that you can surprise God with. You cannot surprise God. You know, if all of a sudden today you decide to backslide and go be a heathen, you can't. That didn't surprise God. And if all of a sudden today you decide to be a Christian, that didn't surprise God. As a matter of fact, you can't rattle or shake God. He's unshakable. But he was trying, it was kind of a trick on David. Because the Bible says, Ornan also saw the death angel. Now that's kind of interesting that Ornan saw this same thing too. And immediately, the Bible says that he offered his threshing floor to David at no cost. He begged David to come to the threshing floor. He even offered the oxen, that's the tractors he used to get in all his crop. He even offered his threshing implements, the pieces of material and wood and stuff to cut the hay and the corn and stuff. And so he offered, Ornan was offering to David everything God had commanded of David. Now, it was a right motive, but doing the wrong thing. Now, at this point, David is faced with the temptation. That's why it was a trick. Would he offer to God the free gifts Ornan had to offer him? Oh, wow. I want to give some money in the offering plate today. So Lorraine comes up to me and says, here's $5. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that $5. I can put that in the offering plate. Well, I didn't put that in the offering plate. She did. It was hers. It cost me nothing. It was no big deal. I didn't have to work to get it. I just took it. And Ornan was offering to David everything he needed. And David knew in his heart that he would miss the entire idea of sacrifice as God demanded a sacrifice of David. But Ornan's offering constituted a great temptation to become an easy way out. Now, let me say this. David knew that the key to sacrifice involved himself. If you're not involved in the sacrifice, it's not a sacrifice. Scott comes up here and the group comes up and sings. And they're giving the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of their lips. And I know we've said it a lot of times. You need to be on the platform. I want to start sitting on the platform. Just the power of the Spirit of God moves up here because they're giving the offer of sacrifice of praise. They're singing, they're playing, their instruments are going. They're giving the offer with the fruit of their lips, the sacrifice of praise. And there are people who will constantly sit back and kind of. Now, that person clapping their hands and stomping and patting their foot is not giving the sacrifice of praise. They're not involved in the praise. They're letting Scott offer praise for them. It's the same thing as Ornan. If David had taken Ornan's stuff and said, fine, bring that here and I'll use that and cost him nothing, that wasn't David's sacrifice, that was Ornan's sacrifice. Well, Scott's sacrifice is Scott's sacrifice. What are you doing? How are you sacrificing? Well, I just don't praise out loud. I've seen you at football games and basketball games and church socials and things. You talk pretty good. I've also seen you when you were in the line getting food and somebody got ahead of you. You can talk. I know you can. God gave you the ability to talk. But I'm singing. Lorraine's singing. The person next to you is singing. Some of the church is singing. The sacrifice of praise is being lifted up. You feel it because it's like that 7-up factor. Shake up the bottle, move your hand, bubbles up, bubbles over, and spills all over you. But you're not the 7-up. You're the result of it spilling over on you. And so you think everything's good, but you're not actually giving the sacrifice of praise. Now, to make a long story shorter than it really should, I should. David said, no, I will not give to the Lord nothing that costs me nothing. It's got to cost me. Maybe if you ever thought about it, the reason God has you in this church is so that it's going to cost you to lift your hand and say, praise the Lord. Well, I don't like doing that. Offer the sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. You have to make the choice to enter into the sacrifice. You have to make that choice to get your hand up in the air, and you have to make that choice to say, glory to God, amen, out loud. I will tell you, I did not want to do that to start with in my life, but now I love lifting my hands or clapping my hands and saying, glory to God, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I love it when Pat goes, glory! You know, hallelujah, I love somebody speaking it. Can you imagine being in a church to where we spoke in tongues silently? Now, there are some of you that try to speak in tongues silently because you don't want nobody to think you're crazy. But I have a truth for you. Just get this. You don't have to go to church, and you don't have to speak in tongues, and you don't have to praise for people to think you're crazy. They already think you're crazy. So go ahead and let them see that you are. Because crazy people don't know they're crazy. I don't know that I'm mentally disabled. I really don't know that. And sometimes people will say, how you doing? I said, fine, until somebody tells me otherwise. But David said, I cannot offer this sacrifice. Now, the thing is that David paid him more. David paid him enough money to also cover the fact of his crop that he was not going to get to harvest. It wasn't just the oxen or the implements or the wood or the threshing floor, but it was all the crop that was in the field that could not be harvested. So David not only sacrificed financially his own self to buy the implements and things, but he sacrificed to buy the crop that would never be harvested. Sometimes you and I have to understand a sacrifice is going to cost us to do things we don't want to have to do. You may not want to love somebody, but that's not your choice. God said to love them. Wouldn't it be neat to be arguing about, I don't want to love that person, I don't like that person, I can't stand that person, and all of a sudden God kind of pops you up there for a minute just to talk to you? Hey, son, what's going on? And you're standing there with your tongue hanging out. What were you just talking about down there, son? Well, I don't like that person. Oh, I can't stand that person. Oh, what part of Christian are you? What part of my body are you? What part of God's body doesn't do what God wants it to do? I got up the other morning, it's been a long time, got up the other morning, my hand was going to sleep in a kind of crooked way. And I'm touching the wall and I can't feel it. and I'm kind of, you know, and I'm trying to get it, and I'm working. You know, it's kind of miserable when things don't work. And it's even worse when you tell it to work and it don't work. So if you can imagine how frustrated you are if you tell your arm to move and it don't move, or you tell your hand to move and it don't move, or like Brother Owen, you tell your eyes to see and they ain't seeing, can you imagine how God feels when he says, feet, do what you're supposed to do, hands, do what you're supposed to do, body, do what you're supposed to do, and you ain't doing it? Told y'all that some of y'all wouldn't like this. See, y'all should have had more sick people up here. It took longer. Here, let me wrap it up. The sacrifice must touch our lives. It must cost us something. But we don't go around living the cost. We go around living the sacrifice. Scott? If the sacrifice of the fruit of your lips is to be praised to God first, then God wants you to say great things other than bad things. Right. And so one of the things that the sacrifice of praise is going to do in your life is going to cause you to confront your attitude. It's going to cause you to confront who you say you are. I just did a funeral the other day, and it was kind of neat. It's Carol Case's funeral, and it was really neat because I didn't have to lie at her funeral. Yeah, that's really a blessing when you as a pastor can say good things and don't have to exaggerate or tell fibs. But isn't it kind of sad that most of the church world today is in such a shape that nobody knows? Was it McDowell that wrote the book? Josh McDowell wrote the book, Evidence. If they were to convict you for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You know, I read that book and I went, ooh. And it all depends. It's kind of like Laverne. She needed somebody to go to court and do a deposition. So she didn't go find people who didn't know her. And she didn't go find people who hadn't been around her in a couple of years. She asked people who were, she asked me, because I see her in the office and she can't walk like she used to. She can't stand and praise like she used to. There's a lot of things she can't do. Well, her lawyer wants somebody who can say, yes, I see the problems. Now, if you were to have to go to a court of law to prove you're a Christian, would you have to look around for people who would say you are? I never ran for public office because I'm here in my hometown, not too far away. And I've always had this fear of one day looking up and seeing somebody that I didn't like or I had a problem with show up. I'm a little hesitant about going now to my 50th class reunion because I've changed a whole lot, but they don't know that. So I got to go show them a change. But if I had run for office, I always thought about, and because you watch how they do this in offices, as you're running for public office today, they come out of the woodwork to find people that said, oh, he did this, oh, he did this, oh, he was this, he was that. You know, all you got to do is ask me. I'll tell you I did all that. All right, Scott and I did it. If it got done, we did it. That wall that fell down in Jericho, one of us was there. It happened. And so there's nothing for me to hide. But aren't you a little afraid of the person who can come out of the woodwork and say, I saw you in I-4 the other day. I got mad the other day. For a minute. I have a pet peeve. A big pet peeve. When there's a fire truck, a law enforcement, or an ambulance coming, and their lights are going, and their lights are blaring, after having driven those vehicles, I kind of have a pet peeve of, and get very mad at people who don't move. When you're in a cop car doing 100 miles an hour and nobody's moving, and you're slamming on brakes to keep from hitting them, and you go by them, and they're giving you the wrong finger because you're in a cop car going by them, or an ambulance, or a fire truck. Hey, you can ask Vince. He's probably had people give him dirty looks and blow the horn at him for getting his fire truck down the road. And so I have this big pet peeve, and the other day this guy, we're all pulled over, and everybody pulled over real good, and the ambulance is coming. And this idiot decides he wants to go out and get in front of that fire ambulance and keep on going down the road because now you can go faster. Oh, I did a no-no. I ran him off the road. I went up, ran him, and put my finger up. I know he wasn't telling me how good I was. And my wife sitting over there saying, "Shut up!" I eventually did. I eventually calmed down. But I did wrong. Now, if that person, if the court found that person and brought the prosecution, brought that person into court, they wouldn't say I was a Christian. They would say, "He's a big heathen." Because they didn't know that I was telling them, "Get out of the way." They thought I was cussing them through the windshield. You know, sometimes you inadvertently mess up and people think you're a mess. Now, you wouldn't want them to hold it against you, but at the same time, as much as we can mess up and do dumb, can't we praise God out loud and real loud and real big and get excited about the God we serve? The God we serve is the only God there is. He's an awesome God. And it's time for us to get excited about being the church. I'm tired of watching the church walk around like, "Oh, I'm tired of being the feet. I'm tired. My feet are tired. My toes are tired. My head is tired." Hey, God ain't tired. God's got a work to do. Amen? Stand with me. I'm done. Do you believe? Do you really believe? Then shout amen. Praise Him. Hallelujah. You know, I always hated when they said, "Raise your hands." But you know, sometimes you ain't told to raise your hand, you ain't going to raise it. Look on the back of those pews. You see all that muddy spots where the fingers and hands have been there for 100 years? That is not sinners trying to keep from going to hell. That's church people trying not to lift their hands. They're holding on back there. And have you ever noticed the further toward the back you get, the more the grips are back there? God is an active God. You want an active God. You want a powerful God. You want a God that's involved in your life. But God wants an active people. He wants an active body. He wants an active servant. He wants an active sacrifice. You know, as a sacrifice, let's get active. Amen. Hey, you know what's neat about being a sacrifice? I'm going to the temple. And I'm going to get to be somebody's blessing. Glory to God. That poor little lamb going to the temple, going along there and stops at the gate and they cut his throat and take the blood out. And he did, you know. He never knew that his blood and his body was going to be covering for somebody else. You don't realize how much you cover for other people. You know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of wrong. You know, if we would just become loving people, some of the wrong would go out of the way. That's called sacrifice of praise. That's called a living sacrifice. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I ask you to take care of everybody's lunch when they get home, that it's not burnt and spoiled and messed up, but that, Lord, today they'll give thanks for all the things that, God, you're bringing into their life, and that you'll bless them and encourage them, and everybody would say, amen. Amen. God bless you.